kind of on an every other Wednesday pattern. And really big thanks to Grove Studios for allowing me to do what I like doing, which is talking to some of my musical friends from the community and bringing them in and talking about what they've got going on. And if you want to ever be a sponsor for this show, if you're a business and you want to get in touch with me about that, we are definitely open to sponsorships for the show. But meanwhile, it is my pleasure to welcome my friend, multi-instrumentalist, excuse me, performer, arranger, teacher, actor, father, and friend, Brad Phillips is here.
Hi, John.
Hi, Brad.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. It's strange to see people in person these days,
sure,
which
is.
Shouldn't be the case, but it really is.
Yeah.
Certainly one of the most impressive resumes of any musician I've ever had in any of the studios.
Oh, man. Thank you.
You've done so much, and I've had the pleasure of knowing Brad since I looked this up. January of 2005, when he and his friends came to visit me in the studios of WHFR, where I was doing a show at the time called Acoustic Alternatives, stole the name, in Dearborn, Michigan. The project was called Millish.
That's
in fact, if you're a regular viewer of my playlist that I put together for the Acoustic Alternatives, I included some archival Millish on this most recent show. Brad doesn't know that yet.
I missed that.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. Archival Millish.
I know. I'll tell you about it later so you don't catch, by surprise. Yeah. Anyway, Brad is, as I mentioned, this really impressive resume. He's shared the stage with Aretha Franklin, Stevie Wonder, Iggy and the Stooges, Jeff Daniels, Brian Vanderek, with and without the Verve Pipe, Pat Metheny, and May Earlywine, just to name a few. I'm sure there's plenty of others that we could rattle off.
But well, we can't forget Joshua Davis.
No, we can't forget Josh.
Yeah.
I
mean, he's one of my good buddies, and we have a special relationship in which I like to go on his live streams and heckle him in the comments.
Oh. I did watch some of those, and I didn't see you at the last one.
Yeah. I call him out on changing keys in his songs and stuff like that. It's fun.
I love Josh. And if there's ever been a musician that I've ever easily noticed ADD in, it's him.
Oh, for sure.
Look, Josh, what? Love him, though. He's such a great guy, great voice, and I'm sure he's a pleasure to play with.
Definitely, yeah. He creates kind of like a sacred space in his songs, and it's just a lovely sort of place to swim around in, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Wish he's a little closer than he is these days, way up in the upper part of lower Michigan. But
Lee Lenoir County.
We'll take him back anytime he wants to come back this way.
For sure.
Brad has also acted in a production at the Purple Rose Theater. He's not just a performer of that kind. He's that kind of performer these days, or has been. Mm-hmm. You're a resident and artist there. Still, whenever they reopen, they're going to welcome you back into their fold. And I hope that happens sometime soon.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I miss that place and everybody there. It's been hard, you know, which goes without saying, of course. But the people at Purple Rose have become a creative family, you know, and I see some of them once in a while on a walk or something like that, but it's super rare.
Yeah.
So
we're all living different lives these days, for sure.
Yep.
As a solo performer, not playing alongside of other people, he's proven himself to be a great storyteller. If you've ever seen one of his shows live, there's a lot of weaving of stories and also weaving in the many instruments that he plays, guitar, mandolin, violin, and fiddle. And I have a question about that later, but I think this is a great chance for you to pick up one of the three instruments you brought with you and play something for me.
Well, I think everything for me started with the violin.
Yeah.
Aside from growing up and wanting to be Neil Diamond as a kid, which is true. It's not just a story. It's a true story. The fiddle kind of came into my realm when I was in fourth or fifth grade in Saline. I saw the Celine Fiddlers play, and I thought, that looks like fun. Maybe I'll try that. And I got my rental violin in 1995 from Carty's. And I remember picking it up in the living room of my house in Celine, and it just made sense. It was like everything was very intuitive to me. And so I guess I'll start there.
All right. What's the name of the tune you're going to call? Or play, excuse me.
Let's see. Well, since you mentioned Millish, maybe we play some Millish material.
I wouldn't mind.
We had some traditional tunes that we would play that I still like to play. There was a set of tunes that we frequently opened our shows with called Three Tunes in G. At least that's what we called it. The tunes do have names, but I'm not sure I know exactly what the names of those tunes are.
Okay.
But it's a jig and two reels.
All right, here's Brad Phillips on Acoustic Alternatives. ¶¶ Crap. Well done, Brad Phillips on Acoustic Alternatives.
Thank you.
What do we call it? Gigs in G?
Three Tunes in G.
Three Tunes in G.
Yeah.
That was close.
I wish I knew the names of them. I think the first tune's called The Humors of Ennis Diamond. The second tune, I'm not sure. I think it's called Mama's Pet. Hmm. And then the last one, I have no idea.
Who would know? Which member of Milish would actually know the answer?
Tyler would probably know.
Tyler, if you're watching, drop us something in the comments so we
know
what
that is.
Yeah, let
me know. Yeah. Those tunes you taught me in 2002, I really would like to know the names of them now.
Tyler Duncan has proven himself to be quite a force as well after Milish. And
yeah, for sure.
Many of you guys are doing great things, and I was really happy that I got to meet you way back when you were kind of just kids. Really.
Yeah, definitely just kids. Yeah. Those were some hilarious times for sure. We grew up together musically and personally, and have many adventures in our 96 GMC Savannah out on the road. Lots of just goofiness, as you can imagine.
I'd always wished for a follow-up album, but...
Yeah, it almost happened.
But,
you know, I don't see it happening ever, but you never know, I guess.
You don't. Well, we're still in young Brad mode, I guess. We picked up the fiddle. Now, I think I actually asked Jeremy Kittle this question back when I was still doing Acoustic Alternatives at the Dearborn radio station. What's the difference between fiddle and violin? Because technically, aren't they the same instrument?
They are. There's really no physical difference in the instrument itself. It's really all about what you play on the instrument. There are some who would say like the setup is different. Fiddles, if there is such a thing to be designated as a fiddle, as opposed to a violin, fiddle setup would be like a flatter bridge and the strings would be a little lower to the fingerboard. And a violin, it's a little more heightened and a little more, you know, a little more curvature. But beyond that, you know, it's really all about the type of music you're playing.
Do you have separate heroes in each category, a fiddle hero and a violin hero?
Oh, goodness. Definitely. I identify more as a fiddler, so there are more fiddle heroes, I would say. I mean, Mark O'Connor, I can't...
That's what I figured you were going to say.
Yeah, I mean, I can't talk about my heroes and not mention Mark O'Connor.
You've met him.
Yeah, I've worked with him somewhat, too. I remember... Maybe I was sixth or seventh grade. I heard a recording of his and I thought, wow, that's the guy I want to play like. And beyond that, being the intense kid that I was, I thought, and I'm going to record with him someday.
Ooh.
And eventually that did happen.
All right.
Which is cool.
One of his albums, I assume?
Yeah. In 2013 or 14, we recorded a couple of duos for an album of his called MOC4, a duet version of this fiddle tune called Gold Rush, which is up on YouTube, Mark O'Connor's YouTube channel. And another one I played mandolin on the clarinet polka. Hmm. So that was super fun and, you know, a bucket list item for sure.
All right. What about violin hero?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. That's a hard one. Really into some recordings of the Bach sonatas and partitas, some Fritz Kreisler, Ricci, current players. Hilary Hahn is amazing.
Yeah.
I don't pay as much attention to that world as much as I should, but those are some of the players that stand out. And Joshua Bell, these kind of guys. And
one of my favorite Joshua Bell stories is when he played in the subway in New York the same day or the day before or day after his performance at Carnegie or whatever.
Right.
Just, busking just to see what would happen, see how people valued the music.
Right. And there he is just absolutely crushing these pieces.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. Well, we mentioned this in the sort of intro that one of the things that you do is teaching, and people might forget right now our musicians are going through this pandemic very differently than a lot of us. So if you're a fan of local music and you're not supporting them in some way, well, this is a way you could do it, because teaching is a way that Brad is keeping busy when he's not playing on stages either as a solo performer or a sideman. So your many hats, teaching is the one that you're wearing right now.
Yeah, mostly, yeah.
And tell me a little bit more about what you're doing teaching-wise.
Well, about a year ago or so, I moved my whole private lesson situation into the under the umbrella of the Ann Arbor Saline Music Center. They now are located in Saline, but they used to be, I think they were called like the Ann Arbor School of Rock or something on Ashley Street there behind the Arc in Ann Arbor. I've always known that they're a great organization, and anytime someone comes to me and says, hey, I want to take some, legit rock guitar lessons, or I want to learn to play in a band, they're the people I would send them to.
Sure.
I just sort of felt like my private lessons should be housed in some sort of official place. And so I'm teaching lessons through there now. When everything shut down back in March, everything went to Zoom, and I was pretty anxious about that transition. It's just sort of part of who I am, I think. When there's a big change, I get kind of flustered. But switching over to Zoom has actually been, I'm inclined to say it's been all right, but it's been more than all right. Hmm. I mean, it works fairly well. We can't really play together, but that doesn't mean I can't, do my teacher thing and help people over the screen.
Yeah.
So that's been okay. So that's the private lesson realm. And I've got anywhere from, a 7-year-old all the way up to adults, people who are retired and looking to pick up an instrument again after having not touched it in a while. Or my favorite type of student is one who's been a classical musician their whole lives and they're looking at ways to branch off into other genres.
Oh, nice.
Which is something I'm super passionate about, because I believe deeply that musicians should be able to function in as many different musical landscapes as possible. So when a classical musician comes to me and they've got all these chops and they're just incredible players, but then when you say, okay, now improvise, and they're like,
I don't do jazz.
Yeah. or play this fiddle tune and play it with a groove, and there is no groove. It just doesn't happen. It's not part of their musical awareness, and it's not good or bad. It's just how it is. And so I really love talking about, improvising and creativity and groove with musicians who have been playing so beautifully in other genres their whole life, but now they're like, well, but how do I do this other thing? I see all these musicians, especially nowadays, there's a lot of young acoustic musicians who are incredibly skilled and incredibly gifted technically on their instruments, but they do these other styles. So it's becoming more of a thing in the culture of music these days. So if I can be some sort of voice in helping people move into that realm, then that's exciting to me,
Are you teaching primarily fiddle, or are you teaching all three instruments?
It's primarily violin. I have a couple of guitar students. It's tough for me to take guitar students because I'm self-taught on guitar, so I don't have this history of lessons to call from when I'm teaching. So it has to be kind of the right fit, like someone who's played piano or other instruments for a while and now also want to play guitar.
Okay.
You know, then I can get more behind it. I feel a little bit, not like a fraud, but something like that. When I, like someone says, okay, teach me guitar. It's like, okay, well, I can teach you certain things, but I don't know. I like teaching mostly comes from violin for me, just because I have this long history of training with it. That's the private lessons. And then I'm also teaching at the University of Michigan now.
For blue.
Yeah.
Blue means something different these days, too. Go ahead. Sorry.
Right, it sure does. Anyway, I'm a lecturer in the jazz department, and when I was in grad school there, I was sort of lobbying the administration at the school to create a space in the music school ecosystem or atmosphere for non-classical string players, which is largely not a thing anywhere in the country at any major music schools. Officially, anyways, Berklee College of Music in Boston, they're kind of the spot for that. Mm-hmm. But there are other schools who are open to it, like North Texas or New England Conservatory and the University of Michigan. You know, they've been open to these kinds of players, like Jeremy Kittle went to University of Michigan and was a jazz major, and that's what I did there. And you know, so there are these pockets of places that are open to it, but don't embrace it and create a space for it for reals with a Z. So in grad school, I wrote a whole degree program called Roots Music Improvisation for Strings, hoping that I could get some traction at the school. And the jazz department kind of latched onto it and said, yeah, I think that's a great idea. We should really have something like this for our string players that are here and as a way to bring a more diverse group of string players to the school. So last January, they brought me in to teach a class called Roots Music Improvisation for Strings, which is basically like a fiddle class. It's like fiddle camp in music school, and we talk a lot about groove, and we learn by ear, and we talk about improvisation and creativity and what it means to like really create truthfully in the moment as your true authentic self. And so that's kind of where that work is centered, which is exciting. All that stuff is like everything that I love about teaching and everything I'm passionate about with regard to music education. So,
well, during a pandemic, it is certainly something that people could use as therapy, I think, as something like you were addressing that with me in a phone conversation, how it's being used in a different way, not just to learn, but
especially for like young kids. You know, I've found that I've re-geared or refocused the mission statement of my private lessons these days to be more like okay, so these kids can count on seeing me at 4:30 on Wednesday or whatever their time is, and we're just going to focus on making a good sound on the violin. Everything else disappears, and we're just gonna try to make the violin sound good. We're gonna talk about what you have to do that, and we'll work on some fiddle tunes and some improv maybe, and it's even for me, you know, to get to teach like that is good for me too, but you know, the lesson goals become more about embracing the process of learning on a grand scale while being okay with whatever you are that day or wherever you're at that day, technically, emotionally, as a human being. So I just meet everybody where they're at when they show up on my screen, and we go from there.
And for half an hour, the world is less scary.
That's right.
Or however long the lesson is.
Yeah, exactly. And the world is scary.
It is a little scary right now.
And to have music as a resource is a really big deal right now.
What about those university students? They're a little different than the you know, 8-year-old who's learning violin. Do they handle this differently? Is there a different emotional impact you're having on them as you're teaching?
Maybe. I don't have as many college students right now. In fact,
Teaching at U of M,
yeah,
technically.
Yes, but like last year in my class, before everything shut down, I had like 23 people, which was great, you know. And then everything shut down, and it, you know, we had to basically just wrap it up with a final project, which made me really sad. But this year, my class is online, and it's one student, and she's studying remotely from Spain. So I see her, you know, whatever, middle of the day on a Wednesday here, but over there it's evening.
Right.
And it works. It's okay. It's like it's private lessons essentially. And I've got a couple students at Concordia who are composition students, and we spend time at the beginning of each session just talking about how they are as a person. Because if we don't recognize that as artists, who we are, how we are, then we can't create truthfully. So with the composition guys, we did a lot of improvisation and trying to get them to discover the most pure organic seeds of ideas possible, which in and of itself, that process is a therapeutic process where you just sit down, feel your feet on the ground, and just start to play music on an instrument without any expectation or plan or whatever. It's you end up with a product in the end that is real. And if you use those ideas to then build a composition off of, it's a great foundation to start from. And in academia, I feel as though we often forget that the human side of this is important. We're training artists. Yes, they're here to study. They're here to expand on their skills and their technique and their knowledge. But at the end of the day, all that goes back here when it's time to create meaningful art. And that's not frequently part of the discussion in a music school. And so I try to bring that to the table with all of my college students.
Well said. In summary, therapy, if you need it, instead, learn an instrument. I mean, we're going to be stuck inside for the next few months again.
Yeah, we are.
Support a musician. Take some lessons. Brad, how can people find out about taking lessons from you since I'm throwing that out there?
Yeah. You can track me down through my website, which is bradphillipsmusic.com.
Since Brad Phillips is a fairly common name, make sure you put music in there.
Yes, that's right. I've run into some other Brad Phillipses in my day. There was a guy who actually had my same middle name also at U of M when I was there for undergrad.
Oh.
And we would get each other's mail. And one time I got one of his paychecks.
Yes.
So I
could have cashed it.
I could have, but you know, said, hey, other Brad, here's your paycheck. It came to me for some reason. Yeah. But yeah,
great.
BradPhillipsMusic.com.
Great. Time to play another song. What would you like to play on?
Goodness.
Well, so many choices.
Let's go to Guitar World.
Guitar, the instrument that he self-taught, by the way. We're going to remind people of that.
Right.
Is this a singing song as well? Because I'm going to encourage you to take off your mask.
Oh, right. Yes. High end.
There it is.
So I had this summer gig at Sava's downtown Ann Arbor every Saturday for about 10 weeks or so. And it was really, really a lifesaver for me in a lot of ways. It gave me something to look forward to every week while everything is just shut down, and an opportunity to go experience myself doing the thing that I do, which since the summer gig shut down, I really haven't done, you know. And this right here, right now, is the first thing I've done since then.
I'm honored.
Oh man. So yeah, I mean, thank you for having me. This is really good for me. A little bit anxious about it, you know, driving over here, but I would sit there out in the street on State Street, right by the Michigan Theater there, and play for, it's basically background music for people eating out on the patio. And sometimes people would pay attention, and sometimes it would be like one person off over there who's sitting at a table of three or four people, and they keep turning and looking at me and clearly are pretending to be interested in the conversation, but they really want to hear what I'm doing.
That's me usually.
So then it becomes about that one person, you know. But on the nights when there would be clearly nobody paying attention, I'd look up at the apartment building at Washington and State, like the building above Buffalo Wild Wings and all that. And I'd see all the lights on in the windows, and I'd make up little stories about the people up there, and they might be listening, you know, and waiting for me to play their favorite thing that they hear me play every Saturday, because it's the only thing that they know they can expect. After a couple weeks of playing there, I started finishing my night by playing Amazing Grace on the violin, just solo violin right there in the middle of the street, and just send it out into the Ann Arbor realm, and hoping it would land somewhere for somebody. So I started thinking, maybe there's people up there waiting for Amazing Grace. And I don't write songs a lot, not lately, especially for various reasons, but this one, I couldn't ignore this. So I've never performed it for anyone. So this is for you, John. Benny takes his dress shoes off tonight. I manage to look out toward the light. He sits down by the open window and notices the time. Hoping for his weekly peace of mind. Sarah's watching New Girl on her bed, wishing for someone to hold instead. Every week she listens for him down in the street, hoping for his heart to mend her mind. One last song, one last wish. Put down that guitar, my friend, and play the violin. How sweet the sound, filling all the streets downtown. I hope he plays Amazing Grace tonight. Got the night off at home. She lost her dear old dad all alone. Back home they sent him off into the great unknown. While Caitlin watches crying on the phone. One last song, one last wish. Put down that guitar, my friend, and play the violin. How sweet the sound, filling all the streets downtown. I hope he plays Amazing Grace tonight. Amazing Grace tonight. Paper cards and online calls, Netflix, Hulu, Zoom. Masked up halls and pained glass walls and closed up music halls. Sanitized and victimized, please heed our desperate call. Guitar, my friend, and play the violin.
sweet the sound, filling all the streets downtown. I hope he plays Amazing Grace tonight. I hope he plays Amazing Grace tonight. I hope he plays Amazing Grace tonight. I hope he plays Amazing Grace tonight.
Got me, man. I could see that. That's a picture song. I can see the people. I can feel what's going on in that one. And
yeah.
I can hear Gordon Lightfoot singing that, actually.
Oh, my. Now he plays Amazing Grace tonight.
Thank you for indulging me.
Of course.
But no, really, that's the kind of song he probably would have written in his younger days.
I don't know
what he's writing these days, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard much of his new stuff. Although I think he did release something recently.
Well, he was supposed to be on tour this year, but
oh right. Yeah. No, that's very much a writing style that I stole from Jeff Daniels. A lot of his music is pictures.
Yeah.
A lot of visual stuff. Like he's got a song that one maybe is sort of based off of, at least conceptually, called Across the Way. Let me think here. It's about a guy who's just lives alone in New York, and his only connection to the outside world is this person in the apartment across the way. And the song is just a lot of visual about, you know, being all alone, and you know, the old TV that's older than he is, and you know, Meals on Wheels, serve supper at 7, chats for a minute or two before they go, you know, that kind of stuff. And it brings you right into the room with the characters in the song. And
yeah.
I tried to capture things that maybe people are dealing with right now, which is everyone's alone. And, you know, Sarah's watching New Girl on her bed, wishing for someone to hold instead. Man, you know, I feel like there are a lot of Sarahs right now. And Benny takes his dress shoes off and manages to look out toward the light and sits down by the open window and notices the time. I don't know. Benny was at work all day and he gets home and can't really see anyone. So he just waits for Amazing Grace Saturday night at 9:30, you know. And Caitlin is the night off at home. Lost her dear old dad all alone. Well, so many people.
Happening a lot.
Yeah. And she couldn't get home for the funeral, you know, so she just watches crying on the phone, you know. And it's a snapshot of a lot of things that are happening right now. And like I said, I couldn't ignore it, you know. I don't write a lot, but that one had to be written. So there it is.
Did you title it Amazing Grace? Or did you title it something else? Or have you titled it at all? Because it's...
It might be called Amazing Grace Tonight.
Or Amazing Grace 2020.
Yeah,
because right. It's such a picture of what's been going on.
Right.
Now.
I made a demo of it, and at the very end, the violin comes in and plays Amazing Grace.
I would hope so.
Yeah. And, I'll work it up and publish it one of these days, but, you know, that's... Yeah. So that's
good
that.
Stuff. Could be the counterpart to Bob Seger's Main Street as well, as you're painting a picture of what's going on Main Street, Ann Arbor.
Right.
Good
right.
stuff. Well, as a lyricist, what's more likely to inspire you? A sad story or a happy story? Or what? Where do your lyrics tend to come from? Experiences that you've had?
Yeah. Well, there's only a handful of songs that I've written. I grew up, like I said earlier, wanting to be Neil Diamond when I grew up.
Yeah.
You know? Something about the singer-songwriter thing has always been appealing to me, but I got in my own way a lot for a long time, and I still do in terms of writing and creating. So I really should take my own advice that I give my students, which is just write from your heart and be truthful. Tell the truth, you know. But it's harder to do than it is to say sometimes. But man, sad songs, I don't know, I tend to be kind of, I tend to float around in the Alison Krauss mood space. Grew up listening to her a lot. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, I hang out there. I do have some ideas for some comedic songs. Like a few years ago, there was this story in Dexter, where my kids go to school. We got this email from the district that said, basically, there was an unfortunate incident today at the bus hub. A wounded deer ran into the bus hub, and one of our bus drivers decided the most merciful thing to do was to run over the deer with his school bus. Which is like only a thing that you would, that would happen in a small town in the Midwest, you know?
Yeah.
So I have this little story about, I mean, I don't know who the bus, like who the real guy is or girl or whatever, but I fictitiously named the bus driver Kevin Lapierre because it rhymes with deer.
Yes, it does.
But yeah, it's a work in progress. It's a little bit overwritten at this point. I think it just has to be real simple. But yeah.
And sung in your Gordon Lightfoot voice.
Of course. Yes. Of course. Yeah. So that, you know.
You can write from both perspectives, is what you're trying to tell me. Happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
good.
Okay.
Comedy is fun. You know, like part of my solo show, whenever it ever can happen again, is somewhat stand up comedy. You know, it's like the stories I tell and things like that. I'm a weirdo. I'm like a goofball weirdo. So I embrace the hell out of that. And, you know, I'm not afraid of super nerdy music theory jokes that no one cares about, but I think it's cool and exciting, you know.
Somebody gets it.
Yeah. Like, did everybody catch that tritone substitution out there? That's what I thought. None of you, you know. Yeah. So,
nerd.
Yeah, total nerd.
That's all right.
Many of my Instagram posts are hashtagged with nerd alert.
Nerd alert.
Hashtag nerd alert.
Well, maybe you should replace your very common name with that, Brad Phillips, and instead of using it as your performance name, nerd alert.
Nerd alert. Yeah,
nerd alert. Right. Just named your band.
Yeah, I'm very inspired by a lot of the people I work with, Jeff especially, because I've just sat with him on stage so much and I've gotten to sit in his. In his sphere of energy with him and observe how he interacts with an audience. And it's a deep thing that he does. It's like he reaches people in a almost energetic spiritual way. It's pretty amazing. And his storytelling and his lyrics and, you know, even his influences, like he's a huge Springsteen fan. And Springsteen's all about storytelling. His songs are very picturesque. And actually, this is a nice little smooth little segue.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Don't let me forget to ask a question related to Jeff and something I forgot to ask earlier now that you brought it up.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead with your segue because I'd hate to screw that up.
Oh, it's all good. So I was touring with the Verve Pipe for a few years, and we did this tour down in the Southwest. We played in Roswell, like the Roswell. Oh. And I remember the drive from Albuquerque to Roswell just being the most nothing I've ever seen out the window of a car. Like endless, endless horizon. You could see so much all at once. And, you know, trying to capture that kind of stuff. And then Brian Vander Ark had, there was a Verve Pipe song called Underneath that he would play just totally solo in the shows. You know, we would all leave the stage and he would play Underneath. And, you know, those of you that know Brian's voice and how soaring it is and how, you know, soulful his voice is, it's, I couldn't actually leave completely. You know, the rest of the band would go back and, you know, have snacks and stuff during Underneath, but it was, I had to stay, you know, I didn't go far. I had to watch him do it because it's just so gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So I took that song and adapted it for octave mandolin.
Octave mandolin, which are a rare instrument to play.
Right, yeah. Yeah, nice thing about the octave mandolin is it's tuned in fifths, just like the violin, so I know where everything is intuitively. And it's down an octave, so it's in guitar range. So I can, you know, accompany vocals with it, which is great.
Not with a mask on.
Not with a mask on. There we go. High end. So anyway, I put together this little medley underneath and a Springsteen song, because we also played in New Jersey at the Stone Pony, which is Springsteen's like home venue. And yeah, I'll just go for it. And it's like a thriving rock club, and you wander around, and some of the typical classic rock club things are there, like the ceiling fan that's twirling around, it's gonna fall on you any second, you know, or the ceiling tile that's wet and sagging, or the 40 years of Heineken under your feet, you know. But you stand there and you picture Bruce over by the bar, you know,
try to imagine him hanging out with the E Street Band over there, and you start to get a better sense of where a song like this one might have come from.
Brad Phillips on Acoustic Alternatives in the Grove Studios in Ypsilanti, taking my very favorite Springsteen song and putting it into a medley with one of my top five Verve Pipe songs. So how can you lose there, really?
Yeah.
Well done. Man, thanks. That sounds so great on the octave mandolin.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that's a Northfield instrument made in Marshall, Michigan, which is kind of cool. My normal mando is also from Northfield, and they're just great. I mean, world-class instruments for sure, and I'm grateful I got my hands on this one 2 years ago almost. So we've become good friends, me and this octave mandolin here.
There's some beautiful instruments in the room here with the talents of Brad Phillips and bradphillipsmusic.com if you want to find out more about him. But we're not done chatting, and now I can ask that question I forgot to ask. There's a few more questions too. So in the old Brad, the young Brad, I mean, the younger Brad, when he's inspired by the Celine Fiddlers to pick up the fiddle, did he ever follow that to the stage and get involved in musicals such as Fiddler on the Roof?
No.
I wonder if going to the stage was inspired by working with Jeff.
I couldn't have been more anti-theater
really?
Back in the day. Yeah, I just thought,
come on, Fiddler on the Roof is made for you.
I know, totally. But
tradition.
Yes. But I, this the me of back then, you know, was very not like a theater type person. At least I didn't think so. Looking back, I think I was, but I just didn't think it was like okay for me to be that way for some reason. So the fiddle was just my voice at that time, which was very important for me at, back then. But I think spending time with Jeff and I think we played like 100 shows at least together over a span of about 5 years. That was super inspiring, you know. He and I are similar in terms of our sense of humor, at least. But other things too, you know, the artist core of him is very similar to I think what like where I come from when I'm performing. So I could really relate to what it was he was doing on stage, and felt like it was time for me to also do that.
the acting thing that came up on my radar a couple of years ago was sort of unexpected. The Purple Rose needed an actor who is a musician for a play called Willow Run. And I didn't see it coming, but I took their acting class, and it felt like an artistic awakening to me in a way that it made me like really connect with what it was I loved about music, which was the connection and the collaboration with other people and the connection with an audience. And to learn about that type of energy or performance medium without an instrument in my hands was pretty profound. In the end, I did have an instrument in my hand in that show, but to, you know, connect artistically with other people purely through human-to-human interaction with dialogue or stage action or whatever, dancing, whatever the thing might be, was life-changing for me. And so that really got me thinking about my solo show and what it could be. And then there's also the practical side of things, which is I'm tired of waiting for the phone to ring. You know, I'm tired of waiting for other people to call me to work. So I just put my own show together and started calling venues myself. And, you know, it was starting to pick up some steam. I signed on with the Great Lakes Performing Artists Associates this year. So I've representation through them, which is great, but you know, there's no venues. So
no. Not right now.
Not right now.
We're going to get back though.
Yeah. But that's a great organization too. They're providing a lot of support, for their artists, and they check in on us and say, how's everybody doing? You know, it's just one, they care about us as people, which mm-hmm. is important. So yeah, I don't know where I was going with this. Did I answer the question?
Yes, I have a perfect tie-in with it, though, as well, because after being a sideman for so long, you finally took the leap and put out your own music. But
yeah.
You didn't do it like everyone else does. You put out a record. You put two records out
I
at
did.
Once.
Yeah.
So
typical me.
It might be a trick question, but is one your debut and the other your sophomore? Or I mean, are they both your debut albums?
Because I think they're both. You know, they both represent very different parts of my musicianship, I think. Let's see. There's one called Breaking Free, which is like a larger ensemble that features my string arranging and my singing and some compositions and things like that. So it's like a string quartet with a folk rhythm section, some instrumentals, some fiddle tunes, and a few arrangements of some of my favorite Michigan songs. Overboard, Verve Pipes Overboard is on there. Jeff's song Road Signs and a David Mosier song called Can't Catch Me and some original instrumentals. So that's one area of what I do. And then the other one was a surprise. It's called Radella's Cave, the Liberty Street Sessions. I was doing a sound design job for a production of All My Sons by Arthur Miller at Purple Rose. And sound design jobs to me are an opportunity to write music. So, yeah, yes, it's also the sound of the door slamming and the sound of someone running up the stairs and, you know, gunshots and things like that. But to me, it's like, oh man, I could write all of the music for this show. And I had this goal for a long time to do a sound design job and all of the music in the show is original music of my own. And for whatever reason, that was the one that I decided was going to be that if I could help it. So I was using some studio space downtown Ann Arbor at the time. And I went in there one day and just set up all my mics and, you know, meditated and just did some deep breathing, got super present, did some slow, long tone warm ups on the violin and kind of put myself in the space of that story, All My Sons, and thought about all the actors and all the other designers and just pressed record and started improvising music for the show. And about an hour and a half later, I had a whole album's worth of improvised music on guitar and violin and mandolin and octave mandolin. And I thought, well, I think this is an album.
Is now.
And now it is. I thought, yeah, like, I was like, why not release this? It's, long enough. There's enough stuff. It's all different, but also kind of connected somehow. And it's all very truthful. I felt good about the performances. And in the spirit of just taking a risk and jumping into the unknown of my own, sharing my own voice with the world in this very, very pure, intimate way, I just got it mastered over its solid sound and released it. So
there you go. Two albums at once. The Brad Phillips way.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it took a while for those to come out.
It did.
Like, in terms of your career
stretch.
When do you, I know this is pressure, but when do you expect to be considering a follow-up to those two?
Oh, man. I don't know. I think it's going to, whatever it is, it's going to be original songs. Because they're starting to, you know, I'm starting to amass a little handful of those. There's no real timeline right now. I mean, it's just so day-to-day at this point.
You're busy.
Yeah, just get to bedtime.
Parenting and teaching is enough at this point.
Yeah. It's a lot. So we'll see. I've done some collaborations.
I was going to ask about those,
yeah.
Drew DeFore
and a fellow resident artist from Purple Rose named Caitlin Cavanaugh, who's an actor, an incredible actor, and a great singer. And she's a Celtic harpist, and she's an Irish dancer, just an amazing artist and great person. We had done some music before together. She was in Willow Run, so we worked together there on some music. And back in March, we recorded a version of I'll Fly Away and put it up on YouTube. And it's out there on my YouTube channel, and that got some nice attention. I think we're up to local viral numbers, which would be probably, you know, around 1,000 views, which is good for, you know, being locally viral on YouTube, if that's a thing.
It is.
And we recorded another song called The Wildflowers, which is still sitting in the can at the moment. But Caitlin and I have talked about, like, forming an official name for our duo and just making it a thing separate from ourselves as individuals, you know.
Yes.
We don't know what it's going to be called yet, but we think it starts with an A and perhaps A-V something. But, well, I don't know. It'll probably end up being something not that.
It's got to have a nerd in it somewhere.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But, so that's out there sort of floating around with no expectation attached to it, just and no timeline. It comes and goes as it needs to.
Any other collaborations planned? You've got those two already done. We could include those on an album.
If you could get
permission to release a cover of a Fleetwood Mac song, which I'm sure is not hard to do.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, So I did this thing with Drew DeFore. All right. Hang on now. I don't know if I can.
I'm hanging.
Still do this. When quarantine set in, I've always been a huge Lindsey Buckingham fan, and always wanted to learn that song, "Never Going Back Again." I remember trying to learn it in middle school and going, "Nope, not I can't do this," and I just put it down for 20 years and.
I think that's a favorite thing of mine that he's ever written personally.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. Yeah. And I learned it, and I realized I can't really sing it. She broke down, let me in. I can sing the lower part. But the... I can't quite do
too hard.
So I called Drew. It's like, hey, do you want to make a duo, a collaboration of this? And he was like, yeah, totally. In his very Drew DeFore sort of way. Oh, yeah, let's do it. And and then, you know, I recorded a guitar track and sent it to him, and then he sent back a video and audio of him playing piano and singing along with my guitar part. and pieced it together and added some bass and shaker.
Yeah.
And sunglasses and some violin. And so that's also on YouTube channel.
It's fantastic. I really like that one a lot. We have on your bucket list for people you'd like to perform with or collaborate with.
Oh, man.
That you haven't done already because you've already done Mark O'Connor.
Yeah. James Taylor.
Oh, he's still here.
Yeah.
We still have James.
Yes. I want to play Copperline with James Taylor.
Nice.
Play the violin part. And Mark O'Connor played the violin part on the original Copperline recording. And I'd love to, you know, sit in the on stage and do the...
I'm going to encourage you to get together with Chris DuPont on that one because he likes that song too.
Ooh.
So you two do a version of it together.
That's a
There's
great
my
idea.
Idea.
I'm coming for you, Chris DuPont.
Chris DuPont was the first guest on the show before I named it Acoustic Alternatives when it was just the Grove Sessions takeover here at Grove Studios, but I think he would do that.
Ah, cool. That's a great song.
It is a great song. Hey. Yeah. Thank you so much. Do you want to do one more song before I let you
Goodness.
Back to your real life?
What could it be?
There's three things. If you only had a loop pedal, you could play all three instruments.
It's funny. I just got one.
Are you thinking about doing that? Playing all three instruments on stage at once? I mean, looping them.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility now.
You have to.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. What could I do here?
Closing number for Brad Phillips.
Maybe I'll do... this is one from the Rodella's Cave album.
Cool.
And since it's improvised, all of it is improvised. When you improvise something, it's hard to like
recreate it.
Yeah. So with this one, I went back and tried to recapture the essence of it. This is called Fallen Brothers. And it's in a very nerdy time signature. It's in 11/8, if anyone really cares. All right.
Thank you.
Brad Phillips on Acoustic Alternatives, who I just lied to because I just came up with another reason to make you play something else. Oh. You only played three of the four instruments you played. You did not actually play violin for us.
No, violin. Oh.
Oh, is there a short little violin piece you could play too?
Oh,
something that would demonstrate
dear.
Your... Oh, no, I guess not.
Oh, just, let me... Well, maybe part of something.
Just part of something. Just, you know, if we're going to show off your talents,
yeah.
Fiddle and violin are different. We discussed that.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Here's the difference.
Okay. I don't know how much of this is still in my head, but let's see. That's all I got.
Okay, that's fun.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing your talents.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for having me. This has been really great. Always good to see you.
You as well.
Maybe we should go on an 8-mile walk sometime.
I would like that.
Yeah.
Try not to get lost.
That's exactly right.
Where are we? How do we get back to the park?
Yeah, exactly.
Feels like that happened once in my life already.
I think it might have, yeah.
Brad, keep it up. And I encourage people, again, it was something I said earlier, maybe sort of off the cuff, but you're going to be stuck inside probably for the next few months, and you might want to really consider taking an instrument, something to take your mind off of where your mind is.
Yeah.
It's good therapy, as Brad was telling me, and strongly encourage, whether it's Brad or somebody else, to make music your place of peace for you right now, because it is.
Yep, for sure.
All right. Wrapping up another edition of Acoustic Alternatives, look for the video show on YouTube. Look for my next one, which is already... Well, the guests are determined. I haven't determined exactly how it's going to go, but Giacomo will be our next guest on Acoustic Alternatives. So thanks for being here, Brad, and thanks for joining
us
in the virtual world. Have a great night.
Hey, everybody. Thanks, John.